It's Tuesday night, March 17th.
Yeah. St. Patrick's Day, huh?
Yes. Mm-hmm. It's a bit of the Irish here, huh?
Well, for what it's worth, I've come to a real major conclusion. It has nothing to do with the spiritual realm, but Shelley's daughter, Lindsay, had a DNA, uh-huh. And it came up 23% Scandinavian. Okay? And Joanne was almost 100% Norwegian, just a little bit of Scottish. And so, anyway, so here's the conclusion. If that's the case, and Candy or Shelley is half of that, that means then that her husband and me don't have any Norwegian in us.
It does suggest that, doesn't it?
It does suggest that.
Yeah, it got a good laugh out of Keith when I told him. Come to that conclusion.
It also suggests Joanne's not 100% Norwegian.
Right.
Because it's not 25. It's only
25. Yeah, well, a little bit of Scottish.
Well, we found out that Joanne had a little bit of Scotch in her.
Yeah. You guys have been flying the flag a little bit.
I know.
A little prematurely, huh?
I know. But anyway, that's no big deal. But I couldn't resist that.
I heard that the twins had a DNA done, and they both come. They were identical twins, but they came back different.
Yeah, it's a big joke. I think it's not really. How about be 23% Indian? That makes sense. It's gonna be 50%, then 25, then 12.5, and then that multiple. But 23, I mean, it's kind of weird.
Well, the parents are 100,
I don't know.
The interesting thing about that, though, is you can kind of look at those DNA tests as man getting out just a little bit in front of himself and put it right next to carbon-14 dating.
Right.
And looking at it all 2-million-year-old bones.
Yeah, there's no way.
There's no way, I think there's... I think they've got some accuracy in them, but I
don't know. You don't really give them your DNA. It's not a blood thing, is it, Shelley?
Yeah, it's a blood test.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, not necessarily blood, though. Maybe they did derive it from blood, but DNA would be in any cell in your body.
Right.
Yeah, DNA, yeah. That's
what with this one, I'm pretty sure that blood is what they used.
Yeah.
And so.
Often it's saliva.
Yeah.
Yeah,
exactly. Usually swab your cheek. Inside your cheek.
The exact number, but obviously the test is pretty accurate because that conforms with what we know. Mm-hmm. About 25%,
right?
Give or take 3%, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I think that was pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it was a pretty good feeling for me anyway. And you know what? That doesn't mean anything.
Oh yeah. But you did get a good laugh, though.
Yeah. But after all of the bad things I said about the Norwegians for so many years.
What is that?
I need a Band-Aid.
Oh, you're bleeding.
Yeah.
From what?
Well, I had a cut, and I thought it was kind of sealed up.
Where do we have Band-Aids?
I got one in my billfold at the door.
You know what? I know where they are, Ken.
Yeah? You don't have one, I carry them.
I need to clean.
Well,
I
never know when you need one.
Right? Yeah. You got a crutch? Huh? You got a crutch for me?
pretty tough gathering, There's blood everywhere.
Yeah.
A little too Old Testament for me, but,
Well, anyway, due to this virus, it's the invisible virus and so forth. And a lot of other things. People are beginning to open up to the Lord like nothing I've seen. And I think we have several testimonies tonight of where people are panicky and they're afraid, and because they are, it gives us an opportunity. And that doesn't mean they're going to necessarily come to the Lord, but it gives an opportunity to witness to it.
You can only make contact with them.
Must have.
Yeah.
Get something to
open up the split too much.
I've heard several testimonies today of different ones that I've talked to, you know. People are panicky.
Yeah, you already know what does that.
And they should be.
You know where it goes.
If God designed stuff, so they will be.
I don't know if it's the people that are panicking. I think it's the media and the government that's getting panicky and that's putting it on the people.
Yeah.
Well, I could be, but
you know, I mean, for us two, for example, we don't worry about it, you know? We had to go get our taxes done today. We went to the office and went and did it instead of mailing it to them and all that stuff. You know, we go do what we got to do. And
they gave us the transfer.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think we're going to get in that panic mode. We aren't anyway, you know.
We wash our hands. We do what, you know, sanitary.
You know?
Well, the people that have to worry about not getting a paycheck, you know,
that's bad.
Well, we got two grandkids. One, the Edge is closing now, and he was a cook at the Edge, and he's down now. And his sister lost her job because they sent her home and said, we'll let you know because she had coughed once at the office. You know, well, that's panic mode.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, yeah.
The trickle-down effect is bad.
Anyway, that's not working.
No, I had a dream. I was going to work to a job. I get to the job, and there was no tile to be done. And the whole house was like very spooky, dark, gooey, dead animals. And I don't know that there was a lot of people, but all this scary, bad, but and all these animals and people, their eyes were black. I mean, they were open, but they were black. You wouldn't see any. It's just that you paint them black, or they had no eyeballs. You know what I mean? And during the dream, I knew that it was they all had demons in them. And I don't know. I know I got out of there from one. It's a dream. I have no thought. You know, I just all of a sudden I was not there anymore. Then I go to my truck and I look in the rear view mirror and it was fine. But all of a sudden my eyes were black, both of them. I knew all of a sudden I got whatever these animals or whatever I had. It was a demon or a sickness. So immediately, without even thinking, I loudly not just regular, but loudly, I started. I don't remember if it was worshiping or praying or both, but it was, you know, towards God, you know, praise God or something, or, you know, Father, help. And in that quickly, my eyes turned out from being black to being normal.
Mm.
So then, as I woke up, all of a sudden, I get an understanding was that. That this day, if we get a demon attack us, even before we ask for prayer or work, we can do it because we won't always have access to other people to help us. Mm-hmm. And also, I don't know if this is a coronavirus induced understanding, but if we get what somebody else has. Or the animals, or if we get it, and you know you got it, pray yourself. Mm-hmm. And in this specific dream, it was just loud. It was I don't know that it had to be loud, but it was a loud prayer or a loud singing. And immediately, I went back to normal. I know, and Jesus, I think in more than one occasion. I think in one occasion for sure he's going to pray and he says and with a loud voice I don't know if being loud helps but and not you wouldn't have to be loud, I mean you can pray in your thoughts, or pray like this, or pray loud.
Yeah,
I
was weighing that
too. So I suppose, anyways, that's how Jesus prayed.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a quick little thing. I went to pick up something to this tire shop. And I said, hey, Pablo, so what do you think about all this? I'm like, so well, I said, you know, I'm a Christian. I said, I'm a Christian all day long. And
that's a good answer.
That's a good way to put it.
Yeah. So I mean, do you want me to tell you, or do you want me to ask me that? So you know, before I said, are you at this? There's usually four people there, or more, but it's usually four. There was only two, a lady and a guy. So I said, are you a Christian? Yes, he said. So, are you a Christian? Yes. Okay, good. So, here went. You know what I mean? I told him, hey, before all this started, I said, the whole world was protesting because they want to get their ways. They were asking for ungodly things. They wanted this ungodly thing, and they wanted this ungodly thing. They wanted this ungodly thing. They wanted the same person to not spank the baby, but kill the unborn baby, and you know, don't eat animals but God says eat animals, and you know, genderless amounts of things, and with violence. And I thought, you know what? Just like in the days of Noah, God said, "Enough of this. I'm going to come up with something." And I said, when Jesus was being crucified, he said, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." Right now, it's happening. I believe it's happening exactly that. Nobody knows, not us, but the leaders that are ordering all this stuff, they don't know really why they are doing what they're doing. I told them, there's no conspiracy. There's not a group behind this. There's not a country or a man. God is behind all this. God only. God only. There's no way, any other way. And it looks bad, but it's still God. I told him, God put in government all these people, good or evil or not evil, God put them there for his purpose. Just like the same way government crucified Jesus, there was a government. Government crucified, and government is doing whatever, but it's God. I said, and all things work for good for those that trust in the Lord. So, if you know and believe that God is the one that is behind all this, it's going to work for good. I said, they crucified Jesus. Judas, the devil, used Judas to betray Jesus, to give him a kiss so they could find him and crucify him and kill him. What did God do? He said, hey, I'll up you, I'll raise you from the dead, from that, and his blood is going to cover all your sins. So the same way, all this weird, bad stuff that's going on, if you believe that it's God the one with the plan, you know, I think that the prayer is, or the mindset is not really, oh man, let's fix the world, whatever. It's like, we need to and attach ourselves from the world. We need to remove ourselves from the world, because first of all, this is not our house. This is not our citizenship. My citizenship is in heaven. So are your guys'. We need to understand and make it just remove ourselves from this. And it's a disaster, but it doesn't belong to us anyways. You know what I mean? And that's basically the idea, what I told them. And this one lady, I don't know if she was mad, I don't think so, but her eyes, I think, I could be wrong, but I think they were like zeroed in like that when you shoot a gun. She was like...
throwing them darts at her.
No, she was like, I think she was soaking in. She was really, really trying to, because...
Not maybe try
to understand, but actually understanding or seeing... You know,
engaged in what you were saying.
Yeah. So, and I think we got a lot of that going on right now. That you know, because of what Keith was saying about, you know, people scared of stuff, they're going to listen. You know,
any understanding of the Lord that He's going to put you on easy street—that's
mm-hmm.
a misunderstanding.
Right.
That's a misunderstanding.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, we would pray. Sure, we pray to hold back the you know, we pray for protection for ourselves and so forth. But that is, to a certain degree, from a natural angle. Just because it's a natural angle doesn't necessarily mean we shouldn't do it. But,
right.
But hey, it's always, Lord, you got better ideas.
Right.
Forget what
right.
I'm saying.
Mm-hmm. What?
You know.
Right.
Your will be done.
Yeah,
that's right.
But like I said, God is behind all this. It's just all God, for whatever reason.
How did they receive it?
All of a sudden, I got a phone call, so I had to leave. So I never knew. So they couldn't throw stones at me quick enough. I don't know. I'll see him again. I think the way I was being listened at, it was positive.
Well, they seemed open.
Yeah.
There was the women's meeting group today, and they were kind of all, you know, talking about the current topic and how things are going. And the consensus kind of was reported back to me that if you really don't have a good foundation of the Lord in your life, you're really worried.
Mm-hmm.
Because you think that this invisible thing is bigger than you are, and your government can't protect you, and you know you can't. It's not you just can't manage the situation like most everything else that we have in our life. So a lot of people are being put to start having to have faith in something other than themselves, and they're not well equipped to do that. And that's pretty new. And I think that's why the panic that's going on is going on. But the people who've got God in their life are kind of like going, it's his plan, you know? Someone, family member here, driving his truck, stopped me and was talking about Matthew 24/7, I believe, and looking up his concordance about what pestilence means, and goes, and there you go.
Oh, is that Jeff?
I wasn't going to mention any names. But thank you for that. Yeah. Might have been. But, and it was then we had a nice conversation, and he said he called and talked to people here, and I said, that's interesting, because I heard the same comment on Sunday, so,
Yeah.
So it's, but my point is that if you have been walking and putting your faith in God, then this little thing isn't really what you're worried about. But if you've been walking around putting your faith in yourself or your government or, you know, the Food and Drug Administration, you've got a problem.
Mm-hmm. Well, I must say that for me personally, it has put me in a more heavenly-minded place. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I don't know that I'm pleased that it took that to occur, but that's what it's been.
Yeah, I understand exactly what you're saying.
Mm.
And nobody likes it. You know, nobody likes something like this. But at the same time, This is not a permanent place. It's a temporary place.
Yeah.
And God has an eternal home for us. And he wants us there. And whatever it takes to get us there, that's what he uses. And there are some people out there that will probably make it because of this.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And what were some of the terms he used for the word pestilence?
Infectious disease, I think.
Infectious disease?
Yeah.
These are dictionary definitions. That's a hard word to say.
What was kind of really throwing them was, you don't see that in Revelations at all, in End Times. And you already mentioned the one gospel, and I said, I think Keith quoted that from an Old Testament scripture Sunday, so it's not necessarily linked to end times,
yeah.
Which is interesting because a lot of our good Christians are ready to, you know, get ready.
You know,
this is a proof of end times, so I'm not sure it is.
One more thing. One thing that happened to me yesterday, I believe, or the day before. What's today? Today's Tuesday? Mm-hmm. Then yesterday. You know, I work listening to scriptures and whatever. And as I was listening, I didn't get any new revelations, anything new, but I got a very good refreshing of a lot of things that were at one point a revelation. It's like everything was such a good reminder all of a sudden, because normally you listen and it kind of plays there, but all of a sudden all these things that in the past popped out, it was like a good review of the Bible in a way. It was just a good reminder. A lot of good things where it was so good to be reminded of so many things throughout, you know, I don't know, you know, 4 or 5 hours of listening. You know, it was good.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing new. You know, actually, you know, we speak about the mystery of godliness and all that stuff. And this is a scripture. It speaks about the mystery of Christ also. I don't know if you guys are familiar with it. But it says the mystery of Christ. And here, because even last weekend, we were speaking about, you know, Jesus, you know, he's such a multi-purpose, you know, forgive our sins, but there's so many good things that Jesus does for us. You know, he prays for us, and, you know, the world was created for him, and he's gonna, you know, he forgives us, as I said. And, you know, I had a dream a long time ago, I don't know if this is important, but I saw Jesus, but, you know, I actually saw his face. But the interesting thing, you know how a father a kid will look like the father and the mother and the grandma and the whatever. I saw Jesus, and I saw myself. It was like looking at myself. And but not only that, but everyone looked like him. Where we were all different, but everyone looked like Jesus, like a family. and Jesus, I mean, God made us in His own image.
He's our older brother,
right? And we are, you know, we are the sons of God, and we are going to have a shape of some sort. I don't know, we're going to have arms and legs, but. Or whatever, but our body, we're going to have a body, and we're going to look like something, and I think we're going to look like Jesus. We're going to look alike, very much so, in our own different ways. That's just a dream.
Mm. Well, that's good.
Yeah, but anyways, yes, the mystery of Christ. Do you find it, Corky? I don't have my phone.
Two references, Ephesians 3:4.
Yeah, what does it say?
In reading this, then you'll be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ.
Yeah.
And then also Colossians 4:3. And pray for us too that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ.
Yeah, the mystery of Christ. And see, that's important because, well, if you know so much, you know, explain to us this, man, why this and why this. And, you know, I say, hey, hold tight. It's a mystery. You know what I mean? It says this, it says that, it says that. Everything is a mystery. You know what I mean? It's a mystery. And God will reveal it to you, you know. I like that. It's a mystery.
There's a scripture in Philippians, the 3rd chapter, where Paul says, "Oh, that I might know Him,
mm-hmm.
and you know the power of His resurrection, the fellowship of His suffering."
Okay. Yeah.
And anyway, in that scripture, he is saying, you know, I want to really know Him, and you think by now He'd know Him,
right?
But there's such a mystery in mm-hmm. this, like there's a mystery of mm-hmm. godliness,
right?
But there's a mystery of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And this thing has really affected me. I looked mm-hmm. at it and I thought, there's so much that I don't know
right.
about this thing.
Right. Right.
Even this thing in baptism.
Mm-hmm.
There's something here that is major.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm starting to get a little glimpse of it, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we'll, as time goes by, we're going to see something that we've never seen. Baptism is an association which I've never seen it as an association.
Mm.
It's a likeness or association with Christ that we've never had.
Identification with him, maybe. Huh?
Identification with him. That might be a better way of saying it. And we were baptized into Jesus' name. Big deal. But here it says, to as many as are baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. That is a big deal. Or we are buried with him by baptism, and as he, you know, we're baptized and we are dead, buried, and how does that say it? Anyway, in the sixth chapter of Romans, it totally changes the picture. All of a sudden, I wasn't baptized for that reason. I had no relationship with Romans 6 in baptism. We're baptized into the name of the Son of God. We didn't even see him as a man at that point. 6-4. And so we've got an identification or identity problem now, or association.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow, I don't know if I said that right, but
pretty close. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life.
Yeah. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, it says in some of them. Old things are passed away. Behold. You know, behold. Take a look at him. Behold, all things have become new. And that's what Pablo is saying about it. And it's like we have never really made that identity before. It's something new that God is doing to us. And God is doing it. It's not a natural thing. To be natural-minded is death. That's carnal. But to be spiritual-minded is life. And that's what's happening to us. I look forward to the next life. I don't look at it. I'm not afraid of it. I don't want to die. Of course, nobody wants to go through the pains of death or something. But I look forward to the next life. And I should. If we're a Christian, we should. But you know what? That is not easy to identify with. Mm-hmm. Because we see too many too much pain and anguish and viruses and whatever else along the way, you know.
Hey, Corky, what the very first part of that verse, how did that read again?
6-4 said, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death.
Okay. Because the New King James, therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death.
I kind of like that in a way.
Not by baptism, but through baptism.
Through baptism.
I kept reading verse 5 and verse 6 and verse 7 and verse 8 are all pretty good there. Along that.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I just kept reading.
And then it says, the death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God.
I know it. I've got that underlined.
Yeah.
I got a lot of them underlined, but that's one of
that's
them.
That's good, too. It's kind of like a transition from this life into the life with God.
Mm-hmm. It almost would seem like he had a hard time associated with us.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, it's like, why can't you understand? Why don't you understand? Why can't you relate? Why can't you, whatever it is. And he had a relationship with the Father that was so intense and so different that he was like, oh, foolish, you know, whoever, fools, slow of heart to believe. And he was in a different dimension. And the thing is that God wants us to come into that dimension. where Christ was, that's where we are to be. Christ in us, the hope of glory.
It is, there are some times when, Jesus, you mean you really didn't understand? Like when he calmed the storm, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, a little faith. You didn't think I was going to do that?
Right, you know? Right. I, he was genuine every time.
Seemed to be.
Yeah, every time. Every time.
And maybe you've got it here. You know, his own mindset was so thoroughly confident that the Lord had control of this that he could hardly understand.
And he almost like he wondered why we couldn't do it.
Right.
Yeah.
Which in a way is surprising. Which in a way is surprising.
Yeah.
I finally feel comfortable with his reaction when you know, he was so heavenly minded that he really couldn't equate with what.
But we have the mind of Christ. And I'm saying, oh yeah. Speak for yourself.
In a measure.
Oh yeah.
In a small.
You know, talking about the mystery of Christ. There were some that responded to him and some that didn't.
Yeah.
And there was a veil there, and I suppose that could be characterized as a mystery. You know, that those who said, yes, this is the way, did not have the veil. The mystery was made apparent to them.
And you wonder, like in there, he said, oh, that I might know him. You know, I mean, that's kind of the basis for the other things that he said, but that I may know him. It's like, well, did he know him? And the answer is, no, he didn't. Neither do we. We know him, we find him, we associate with him, we get to know him as a means of knowing the Father.
Yeah.
You know. Chuck, could you find my Bible? I sat over here without my sword.
I think it's on the table.
See, I am. Is that the one that, I guess, Chuck recognizes it when he sees it. Yeah.
Very good job. Thank you.
I wonder if, you know, when Paul says, oh, that I might know him, I wonder if there isn't something a little fuller to that idea. You know, they, forgive me for being a little whatever, but, you know, knowing is a term we're using for sex, you know? And not that there would be anything sexual about this, but it would, you know, there is a fullness going on more than just knowing, you know?
I think it says, doesn't it say that the depths of each thing, that I would know the depth of his baptism and the depth of his resurrection.
And maybe that is
it. You know, so that would mean
something fuller.
You can really go farther than what,
you know.
Yeah, he knew he could go farther than what he was in knowing.
Part of it in some way or something.
I said verse 3, but it's actually verse 10.
Well, I think you said Philippians 3, verse 10.
Chapter 3, verse 10.
I was looking at that because as I hear you quote that, I hear you say, oh, that I might know him. And the King James just says, that I might know him.
Yeah.
And to me, one is kind of like a wailing. Oh, that I might know him. I really don't know him, and I really desire to him. And the other one, I could drop off that, oh, and just go, that I might know him. And so I was starting to look at other translations to see.
Oh, 7 years old?
To see if they do or don't. I haven't gotten it yet.
Okay.
Because because we quote it that way.
Yeah.
We say it all the time.
I have said it many times.
Oh, that I know him, but...
I've said it that way a lot of times.
And not that... In my humble little brain, oh, in the way we say that, means something different than that I don't even know him. One is kind of like a longing, the other one is just kind of...
Yeah, right.
Is a factor.
No, I agree. I relate to that, yeah.
Mine says, I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participate in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death.
What translation is that?
NIV.
See, you have a yes there that it could be the O at the beginning. Sometimes
yes,
in translations, things go before and after kind of deal.
Forgive me, my first reaction was... Too much I.
Yeah.
Too much who?
I.
I
want to know him. Oh, really? Well, you can want all you want, but yeah, I mean, but I don't think that's the way they're putting it, obviously. That's kind of why I like the oh, because
yeah.
It's a yearning, the yearning thing.
And he is maybe standing in for us, too, in some way, Paul, you know. He is expressing a universal thing.
Yeah,
I don't
could be too.
A quick scan of the 29 translations I'm looking at. None of them have that old.
Really?
Oh, really?
Oh.
Right.
None of them.
Interesting.
So I want NLT. I want to know.
That's Philippians 3:10.
Philippians 3:10. Yeah. English Standard says that I may know. Green study Bible.
Oh, I think
I
that's
want
that,
to know.
That I mean.
But do they substitute the yes for the all at the
yes,
end?
You know,
I'm looking.
Yeah, that might be.
I brought the wrong Bible. It doesn't have Philippians in it.
Uh-oh.
A special one, huh?
We're probably angry.
These new translations, they just...
Yeah. Right.
To answer your question, Pablo, I couldn't see any of them say yes.
Okay.
In the first word. Maybe.
No, 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 but no, yes, there's a yes at the end, or maybe before a comma.
Okay.
I want to know to Christ, and then it's got a hyphen. Yes, to know the power.
See that yes right there.
Yeah. Oh, that I might know him sure is not out of line.
Yeah, no.
I think it's a good representation, and I believe it would be the heart of Paul.
Yeah.
So I've never questioned it.
Yeah.
Until I looked, and then I went, well,
it's not in the New King James, though.
That's what I was wondering. I'm trying to find it in mine. It doesn't say, oh, huh?
No, I don't know.
I'm getting rid of this one.
What is it? Philippians who?
It could be. Just
Philippians 3:10.
3:10.
Well, I'm in Philippians here.
Yeah.
I'm not. 3:10? Oh, I'm reading down here in 11, 12, and 13.
Did I mean know him in the power of his? Yeah.
No, I'm going down farther.
His doesn't have the yes either.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection.
Yeah.
Huh.
Which is powerful and good stuff.
Yeah.
But it doesn't quite have the flair of David.
I'm just going to
roll David.
I'm going to put the O in there every time.
Oh, yeah.
The
flair of David and the joy. Yeah.
It doesn't say depths, though, either, like I thought.
In verse 13. He said, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now comes a statement that has got me in a quandary. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. What do you mean, do as many of us as be perfect?
Where are you reading it again?
That's in verse 15.
Philippians 3:15.
3:15.
Mine says, all of us then who are mature.
And mature, okay, that's probably better.
And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you.
Mm-hmm. Are you in 13?
Yeah. 15.
Oh, I'm reading 13.
The thing that is, that there's a lot of mysteries, but the one of the biggest mysteries in the church is that God gives a revelation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's
that's a big one.
And that's pretty clear in all the translations. You know,
yeah.
It's kind of like, if you, you know, they all kind of, and if you think differently about this, or you're not quite there, God will reveal to you. God will align up your alignment. Mm-hmm.
See, it says, you know, let us, as many as are, okay.
What is it saying here?
It's same thing, man. Where is it now? It is
verse 15.
Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. This is a New King James.
I found an old in my Bible.
All right.
But it's in Romans.
Oh.
Well, but it's talking about God instead of Christ. So.
Well, in verse 13, I got this highlighted. It's talking about, as you go up, he's talking about the resurrection. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, in today's times, forget what lies behind. Keep reaching forward.
Yeah.
You know.
And then he's telling us, this is the way you folks should be thinking too.
Mm-hmm.
The reason I looked that up, I was trying to find where I'd heard depth. Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God.
Oh,
the depth of the riches, yeah.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Glory.
Oh, the depth.
Yeah.
I wonder if that all, like I said, it's like it's not a O-H, but an exclamation mark or some sort to give emphasis in Hebrew, to give emphasis to whatever you're saying, and just not translatable in.
Right, it's important, yeah. And I think it's like in some of the verses that start with behold.
Right.
And then it tells you something, but it's saying, I need your attention.
Right, right.
Give me your attention.
Right.
And then it says, or exclamation, or
right.
This is important. Important.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, like Jesus, I don't know what it says in King James, but in mine it says, verily, verily, I say unto you. Is that New King James or
old? No,
King James.
So what does, I don't even know where would he say that, but I wonder what does the other version say? Do they say verily, verily? I don't know. I think there's more than one. There's several.
I beseech you.
I say
it's yes, verily.
Two verily, it's not just one.
There's two verily. Verily, verily, I say unto you.
Yeah.
This is the truth.
Verily, verily, I say unto you.
This is really true.
This is the truth. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Who knows what the scriptures say? The gospel, something.
And again, that emphasis.
Right. Right.
It's beyond.
Right.
You know, don't keep
this
sitting down.
Right. It shows some kind of passion. Vulnerability, or it's, you know, it shows.
It's passion, I think.
It's passion.
Yeah.
I think it does.
Yeah.
In some kind
it's
of
passion.
Way. If he didn't say it, he shouldn't.
Right.
You know, under that setting, the depth of the riches, you know, the wisdom and knowledge of God.
Yeah.
How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. And that just clicked that, see, you can't ever judge as God does as far as other people.
Not a chance.
Yeah, that's why it's so unsearchable, because only he knows the heart of every person. And so, yeah, in that regard, it's pretty unsearchable, you know.
Yeah.
And his ways are past
finding out.
You know,
of course, that could be naturally, maybe. I don't know.
That might be, but.
Mm. Oh, mine says very truly.
I was going to say, one dictionary definition says, verily, 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 in truth, in fact, certainly, really, truly, with great confidence, it was barely thought the Enterprise would succeed. And most of the times where I came across the use of barely, barely, was something that John said. And he's like, and that's kind of also interesting, seeing how John deals so much with spiritual things. And he's saying, barely, barely, with truth and certainty,
this.
Yeah, it's kind of like, because maybe he had to do that to get this point home to the Jews. Early, early.
Very truly, I tell you. I tell you.
This is truly twice.
Truly, truly.
Truly, truly.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, when I first came to church and ran across that word, I did a definition search for that. It's King James, man. It's tough.
Yeah.
We're working it around. He tried this out. What's this barely thing, you know? He run into it often enough as a better understand this word.
Yeah, it's a lot in John. Very truly, I tell you. Very truly, I tell you.
Very truly. Well, yeah. So.
But that's Jesus speaking. When he's in, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
10:1, 1:51, 13:38, 3:3, 8:58, 3:5, 10:7, 13:16, 6:47, 16:23, and on.
And on.
And on.
Yeah.
And another 5 or 6 references.
Hmm. It says it's the same thing in chapter 11, 3:11, too.
All the way through.
Yesterday, when I was listening to the Bible, and this may have been a scripture that Barb was reading here on Sunday, but it really struck me. It says, "We are saved by hope." It's in Romans 8. And you think about that? We're saved by hope. Saved by hope. Well, I wonder why.
And hope makes us not to be ashamed.
Yeah.
And I don't know what that means, but where are you at in Romans, right?
Well, it's Romans 8.
It's 24.
Romans 8, 24.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now, I guess maybe the word saved isn't necessarily confined to salvation that sends us to heaven. There could be some broader sense of that.
A lot of other places use save as, save from their life. The storm continued, Acts 27:20, and the storm continued raging when we finally gave up all hope of being saved.
Yeah.
So there's Isaiah 30:15. Yeah. But
it wouldn't be exclusively salvation. But
I do think Romans 8:24 is kind of speaking of saved as in salvation.
Mm-hmm.
And the next line in that verse says, "And a hope that is seen is not hope."
Mm-hmm. It's no hope at all.
Right.
And who hopes for what they already have?
For what a man, what you see.
So it's another word for faith, I suppose.
Yeah.
You're saved by faith.
It's not, it looks like.
Again, if you've seen it, it's no longer faith, too.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yep. Okay.
Yep.
So we're finally in the agreement.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
But I wondered in this setting why we have hope for being saved, not that we have faith. Like I said, I've been off on this little quirky tangent about what is really the difference. The revelation between faith and hope, and then thinking back to 1 Corinthians, faith, hope, and love.
Mm-hmm.
And so, because they're distinguished and different. But, and that's all I'm good for. I'm just a question. I have nothing else. I just wonder about it.
Well, before it says, we know that the whole creation has been groaning, is in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, we have the first fruits of the Spirit grown inwardly as we wait eagerly our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope, we are saved. Mm-hmm. So the setting before, it's like we're...
But it would be like an expectation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Knowing that you're going to have an uncorruptible body.
Mm-hmm.
In verse 25 it says, but if we hope for what we do not see with perseverance, we wait eagerly for it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's what we're doing.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Right. You know, you can't see what heaven's going to be like, but you're hoping to be there.
Yeah.
I was going to ask the question to everyone. So, what gives you the hope that you're saved? Because you must have reasons. I got some reasons. You know, it's like, ask yourself, what is my hope?
Yeah.
Because my God's a merciful God.
Well, yeah.
It's surely a blend of things. But a big one is the thing that is best in me, the spirit, if you will, the best thing in me, has a longing for that, an expectation, a longing. It's really something I'm very much looking forward to.
And why? Yeah. How did you get that?
Yeah.
That longing? Well, you accepted Christ.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You didn't have that kind of a longing before Christ.
Oh, I sure didn't.
You know, you had maybe something triggered a little, or, you know, like, what am I missing, you know? I don't think for me either. But, but there's a lot of things, you know, it's like, well, my hope is because I accepted Christ, and I know he accepted me at that point.
Well,
I have a hope that I'll get to the end, you know.
Without the intake of the scriptures, like God led us to do, none of this is possible. It's not possible. We could have an experience and God could give us something, but it takes the scriptures to verify it. To cement it, to make it solid, and that's where the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. The Spirit works with the God, with the Word, and uses the Word to cement and to make something solid in us. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. And yet, faith comes by hearing, and that by the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
But without faith. And it says, then it says, for he that would believe in God must believe that God is. In other words, in order to believe in God, you have to believe there is a God. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. To believe God. It says Abraham believed God. That's different than believing in God.
Right.
He believed God. And so we got to believe God. And the Bible makes it possible for us to begin to build something in our system so we believe that what we're doing is right.
Mm-hmm. Well, you have to know that there's a God to believe God.
And so,
you know, I mean,
So Jesus says to this, the parable of the of Lazarus in Abraham's bosom, and this fellow that was in hell says, if you have him raised from the dead, he said, that'll convince them. And Jesus said, no. If they don't believe Moses, or they don't hear Moses and the prophets, they won't believe if they see somebody raised from the dead. So if we don't hear the scriptures and hear the Word of God, we can see all the miracles we want.
Mm-hmm.
And it won't be the thing that makes it.
Sure.
The Word of God has to be in us, and
we have to respond to it.
Yeah.
You know, I'm Lord willing, I will stay in this road that I'm at, and maybe I'm a little bit off on the road. I do believe also that there's a lot of tweaking that needs to be done in me or in the road, because I'm being saved. But you know, Jesus says, which I love, he says, I have chosen you, you have not chosen me. And he's not only speaking to his disciples, he's speaking to everyone. Mm-hmm. You know, and he says, you know, everyone is called, I mean, many are called. So even though he chooses you, he chose Judas, you know. You can, even though you're chosen by Jesus, you can, so, I'm banking in the fact that Jesus chose me. But that I'm not going to put my guards down. I know that there's I am being saved. I don't want to stop being saved. I want to always keep being saved.
You don't want to get the idea that okay, now I'm saved, I can relax.
Right. Just knowing that I need to do pitching or fixing or keep fixing.
The pastor said we're running a race, and you never finish the race, mm-hmm. but you're constantly running the race. Mm-hmm. It's constant. That's my way of saying we're constantly in the process of being saved. We haven't arrived. We're not completed works.
Right, and Jesus says, and we know the scripture says, and that's why, you know, I'm very whatever about listening to the script, the word. It says, if you continue in my word, and you guys know the rest, you know, you'll be my disciples. So if you're his disciples, you are his disciples. Mm-hmm. That's a big deal. Mm-hmm. If you stop continuing in the world, then is you're gonna fall out. That's when you know that you're back.
Take those words to mean what they say.
Right. Mm-hmm. Just continue in the word. Going back to the old song that we keep singing, if you're stop doing stupid stuff, really. You know what I mean? Just stop sinning. You know, it's the sin thing that we keep, you know. So it's just continue in the word. You know, and Jesus said, hey. And now you are clean by the word that I speak to you. So, as you keep listening, it keeps cleaning you. Because you are walking on the mud every day. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Jesus doesn't keep you from walking on the mud. He keeps cleaning you with his word because he knows we're a disaster.
Scripture washed by the word.
That's what I'm saying, yeah. And now you're washed by the word. Yeah.
I think one of the scripture settings that tells us the most about being, but continuing in the word is a parable of the sower. The seed is the word of God, and it falls on the soil that doesn't reproduce. Well, in order for the seed to reproduce, it has to be in the soil long enough to become something. Mm-hmm.
Continuing nourishment. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and so the word has got to be in fertile soil inside of us over a long enough period of time to produce something.
Another part of that, the seed has to die.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
In order to.
Right. And I said right after that what he says, and you shall know by the fruits. Is it there or no? Is it not? And the good soil, and it will produce fruit, right?
Yeah.
And it will produce fruit. And Jesus says, you shall know them by their fruits. Mm-hmm. And we always think that the outsiders will think that a fruitful Christian is a man or a woman that does not sin. But that's not true. A fruitful Christian is the fruits of the Spirit, you know, what are they?
Whatever.
Love. Yeah. I believe that us sinners do have those fruits of the Spirit. We do.
Maybe not in full measure.
But we do. But those fruits are more of an evidence, you know, our amount of sin is not the evidence of the fruit of the Spirit. The evidence of the Spirit is that those, I know for a fact that all of us have those fruits growing, you know, in us. We do. You know, we just do.
You're saying yes and shaking your head.
Okay, hold on a second. We do.
Yeah. And that's possibly one of the reasons that we have Romans 7.
Right.
Because it gives us a picture, you know, the good I would I do, not the evil that I would. You know what? That's who we are.
Mm-hmm.
It's like no matter how you try, you end up, that's still who you are.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so then Paul says, in the middle of this thing, he says, There is therefore now no condemnation to them who walk in the Spirit and not after the flesh.
Hey, where are the fruits of the Spirit, Corky?
Colossians.
See, the Bible says you got one of those. So, Corky's our scripture finder.
I think it's Ephesians 5.
Oh,
what is it?
I thought it was Galatians.
Galatians who?
Five.
Galatians or Ephesians? I think it's Galatians.
I don't think it's Ephesians.
Galatians 5 or 6.
Concern for Galatians? No. What are we looking
for? Well, Romans 8:23 says first fruits of the Spirit.
Yeah. But it was said the fruits of the Spirit are.
Enumerates them all there, huh?
Yeah. So what was that? The fruit of the Spirit.
It's not Galatians.
While you're looking, one little tiny scripture. Psalms 119, 160. The entirety of your word is truth.
That's good.
Which is
the entirety.
Yeah.
Galatians
the whole deal.
That means the whole deal is good.
Okay. What was it?
Galatians 5:22.
No.
Yeah, for the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control.
Yeah.
And against that, there is no law.
There is no law, right?
Now, see, think about your sins.
Yeah, sure.
But are you, after you have become who you are, and after you have gone into the, taking this word, are you more, you know, loving? Are you more joyful? Are you more peaceful? I am. All those things. I don't know what long suffering means. Are you kinder?
Patient.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I don't got that one.
You gotta work on that.
Kindness, goodness, faithfulness. Seriously, any of you don't feel that you are more of those, of this?
There's one in there, though, that, what is it?
Self-control.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, 9 out of 10.
Yeah, 9 out of 10. I'll go with that.
Mine says forbearance. What is that?
Putting up with it.
Putting up with.
Okay.
Yeah.
What is your word?
Impatient.
Impatient.
Hey, for whatever it's worth, self-control is at the end. It's the last one.
That's the last one.
Right. Yeah. So, what's your grade that you passed? Did you pass with a 70%?
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
Well, love, I do pretty good. But
God doesn't grade on a curve.
Where is it?
Huh?
Where is that said in the scriptures?
You're looking for a word. God's great on curve.
That's on a little extra scriptural there for me.
But see, if you meet someone, no, forget about us, but let's say you know, he says you shall know them by the fruit, not you shall know yourself. You shall know, so if you meet someone that, and you know that they're a certain way, also, man, this person now, he's a Christian, whatever, he's more loving. He's more all this, you know what I mean? And he used to, who knows what, you know, he used to not be good. Now he's good. Now he's kind. You know what I mean? So is this, you should know them by the fruits.
Who would be good for the Jesus, of course, there's a lot of
them. Yeah, I was agree with that.
Really,
adultery, fornication, uncleanness.
I was reading that, and it kind of reminded me of that setting in the old scripture where one of the books is going on, and I think it's Moses that he's just saying, if you don't do this, and he just lambasts them, and it's just verse after verse after verse. And then if you do these things, it's like three short lines at the end of the chapter. So it's like, you know,
see, the now the works of the flesh, just like this, we got the fruits of the Spirit, all of us also have the, I got to get a Bible with bigger letters for sure.
I'm looking
at I think it's not the size of the
glasses right there.
It's not the size of the letter, just everything's so close together, so I don't know if I'm going back over the same line.
Yeah.
You got a lot of experience in that. But, you know, just like I'm saying that I, and oh, I'm sure you have all the fruits of the Spirit, I think we all, I hate saying all this, but we all have the works of the flesh. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred. Maybe not all of them, but, you know, 8 out of 10 probably.
We got our share, don't we?
Jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions. I don't know that I'm free. The ones that I understand, I'm guilty of all. And you know what I mean?
Well, I was just thinking when I was reading all that, if this was a picture dictionary, I wonder whose picture would be there. I'm thinking, yeah, probably mine.
Who wrote Galatians? Was it Paul?
Yeah.
Okay, so I mean, you know what? He knew all this firsthand. He did. Nobody was confessing to him anything. He knew all this firsthand. You know? And, okay, adultery, not necessarily like fleshy adultery, but if you think one way, and murder, you know, fornication, I think that's just flesh, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Uncleanness, or whatever, you know, and hate, I mean. Murderers, you know, if you say you're a fool,
I don't think that dog likes murder. The flesh. The dog was troubled by your recitation of all these things.
Like, yeah, he's ashamed.
Nah, like the words of the flesh.
Yeah, he's like, where can I get that? you know, but
verse 7. I was just reading. You were running a good race. Who cut in on you to keep you from obeying the truth?
Yeah.
It's like you were running, but what happens?
Yeah, those foolish Galatians.
You know, if I ever get an opportunity to talk in front of people, whatever, I'm going to start reading right here. I'm going to say, I, Pablo, and I'm going to read all these things. I'm guilty of all these things. Because, you know what people like to do? They like to say, oh, man, he's saying all these good things, but he's this and that and that and that. I'm like, yes, very much so. You know what I mean? I am. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
I can see whose picture could be on there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Whether you do them or not, that is the region from which you come.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You're a resident of that area.
Right. Yep. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I haven't recently, but I used to watch the Dick Cavett show, which is probably 30 or 40 years old, and he was interviewing Billy Graham. And Billy Graham was, you know, at that time was maybe 50 or 60 years old. And anyway, if he would be sitting down with us, he would have been saying just what you said. And I was amazed and blessed by what I heard. And he said, I'm guilty, as guilty as anybody else. He said, but the grace of God, the mercy of God is changing me. And that was his approach. It was a wonderful, wonderful thing. And I think one of the things that, like the fifth chapter, or the seventh chapter of Romans, what that is in there for is to let us know that we're not perfect and don't expect to be. Try work to be, but don't expect to be, and don't be discouraged if you're not. Because that's what repentance is for. Repentance is not for a perfect person, it's for an imperfect person. And even though it says in 1 John, you know, the first and second chapter, it says don't sin. He that sins is of the devil, or so forth. And it says, but if anybody does sin, what do you mean don't sin, but if anybody does sin? And it's letting us know that we are imperfect vessels, but the Word of God is changing us from glory to glory into the image and the likeness of Christ.
It's also letting you know that you are not going to do it in yourself.
Sure.
Yeah. You know, and James, you know, James says, if you do one, you're guilty of everything.
Right.
So, you know, here in Galatians, the works of the flesh, he's naming, you know, a dozen. But that's just you do one, that's just the name of your work of the flesh. They're just how you call it. But you're guilty of all of them. You know what I mean? They're just like, yeah, yeah, minor call, you know, whatever. But we are, so no matter what is the one or the two or the three or all of them, we are guilty of all. Yeah. You know what I mean?
You know, Keith, I think I have seen that interview that Cabot had with Billy Graham. And the thing that really strikes you when he's making that confession is the gentle spirit, the peace ability that is on the man. And it's so opposite of what he's saying. You know, it really conveys Christianity so well to have that.
It's the wonder that he was who he was.
Yeah, the peace of the Holy Spirit is upon him, and he's making this confession of his own guilt.
Very simple message, too. He doesn't get real involved.
Yeah, that's right.
No philosophies, nothing. Yeah. It's just a simple message of the word.
Over the years, I never heard that.
With conviction, because he knew it in his heart, you know, with authority.
Mm, yeah.
I gain more respect from watching that one little interview than I have all the years I've heard him talk.
Mm-hmm. I heard one of his sermons, and that's the one that did it for me too. Where I just thought, I don't know how much better anyone could have put this. You know, it was so sincere, so from the heart, so humble. You know, and it just rolled. You know, I mean, it just. Yeah, it's pretty.
He never claimed to be something.
No. You could tell the Lord had the anointing on him. It's
Yeah, man.
What are we doing on Sunday? Are we trying to keep it to 10 or something? What are we doing? Because we have is that our thing for real? Chile's uniform?
What?
The 10 people thing?
It's supposed to be the law.
Yeah.
But.
We are, if we maintain the distance, whatever, that social distance, go easy on the hugs, I think we're complying with the spirit.
Okay. We could have one more here with us.
Right. Well, the big thing is we don't have 10, 12 cars sitting in the parking lot.
Right.
That's, you know, that's the giveaway right there, the number of cars in the parking lot. Even on our best day, there's only maybe five of them.
Because, you know, honestly, I mean, there could be, you know, spirits around there, you know, people that, hey.
We've had that happen before.
You know what I mean?
I suppose.
You know, I'm going to walk to church so long ways, but I think I can do it. I'm gonna walk this. I'll just bring my water or my snacks so I can make it. But maybe Corky.
I think we walk this.
Okay. I mean, you and I are easy walking distance.
Well, we had to take the long way around because they got 40 westbound so closed up.
I don't know what.
But you can come out it, but you can't go in it.
We'll keep it to 10.
I don't know.
I haven't went that way to know what's going on.
I don't know what's going on. We look.
I know there's a whole lot of cars in front of my house now that never were. And it's busy. Well, you have a hard time backing out of the driveway.
Everybody's being routed down.
I know.
Yeah.
You know, that's interesting. So.
Do we comply by the law or?
Yeah, that's. We
will comply by the law.
Well, there's a lot of churches, though, you know, that have more. What are they going to do?
They won't have service. I mean, they have hundreds. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That
a lot
of
them are streaming them online.
A lot of them are just streaming on the internet.
It's so weird, though. It's like, when do you? Okay, when would you make a stand for God?
Yeah.
Well,
I hope we don't.
They don't have any penalty for that. I think it has to be essentially a guideline.
Yeah, well, somebody, like I saw where they was talking about bars and stuff closing down, and they said, well, if you don't comply, you know, they're the ones that can have an influence on whether you get a license again.
Yeah, okay.
So, you know, I'm thinking.
They haven't issued us
a. Yeah, well, we ain't got any licenses that they can take away.
No.
tax exempt status, I suppose. But
oh,
no,
I suppose it's a guy really down to
for
that.
It would take them, I think, quite a long time to find out that we have maybe 11 or 12 people.
Yeah, I know.
And then it would take them so long to get to court.
It's not a real worry. We have no business.
Yeah, if you had 15, 20 cars out in the parking lot, yeah, that would tell you something. But
there's a house down the road there that normally had one or two cars, and there's six or seven of them parked there, so somebody's getting together.
Yeah.
You know, and there could be two or three in every car.
Yeah,
so,
sure.
Meeting in the house, you know.
Yeah.
Are we going to start prayer meetings?
I would like to.
I came.
Yeah,
the church
we were talking on Sunday night about Friday night.
Well, I was thinking too, Tuesday night. That way, if she didn't want to come here, I could drop her up here. She could pray, and I could pick her up at the end of.
I want to be here too.
Well, this is men's meeting.
I thought they said it wasn't last week.
No,
it's
not men.
No, we don't know why we're
doing that. I just throw that in.
God bless you, Barb. We're glad you're here.
No, I was just thinking, though, if somebody did, that would be a good time, you know, like if your wife wanted to come and you could pick her up on the way home. And that would be an excellent opportunity to start, anyway.
Wednesdays, Thursdays,
Fridays.
Yeah. Well, you go down there anytime you want. It's nice when there are other people there and you know they're going to be there, but certainly you have a good time
Yes, you can.
All on your own.
I'll put that on my request list.
Hey, are we going to do something about the offering? Like, could we have like a little mailbox with a padlock or something and just put your flag up? See, there's a check in there or something. Or you want
to
keep doing it?
I will my check to him.
Yeah, right.
Well, back in the olden days, we would go off the pew.
Right.
And in the circle, it got to be like, you know, it's a little bit overly obvious.
Yeah.
We could start passing a basket or however. But generally, people either push a check to one of us and we just.
Well, should we just give you know, hey, somebody's got a check, just give the cookie whenever?
Sure, or Charlie.
Okay.
And then we just have a double check though. If you give it to him, he gives it to me. I write it down, and he looks that way.
So there's a point. Let's just do it to you.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, besides us, it's Charlotte that we have to inform on Bunny, right?
Yeah. So, that just works. Just keep it safe.
Wait, then?
No, I think we could turn it off.
That's what I mean.
I'll turn that
off. In this conversation.
Yeah.
You turn it off.
Sure.